Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show. Today is going to be a little bit of a different flavor. Recently, here as we've started out 2023, I take a day of prayer and seeking God with my entire firm. And it's a day where we can talk about what is going to happen in 2023. What are our personal goals? How do we want to engage faith in seeking after what God has for us? I truly believe that God has a very specific purpose and design for us this year in 2023. So I wanted to share my message with you of what we went through as a firm and just give you some insight and a peek into planning with purpose and what we do. So here we are. Join me today in seeking after God's goals and dreams for you in 2023. So today I want to talk about the pursuit of uninterrupted faith. And I've been on a journey of constantly chasing after this thing called faith for quite a few years now. And it actually, in my own life, I've been born again. I gave my life to Christ when I was 19. I'm older than that now. And it's really been in the past 5 or 6 years of my journey with him that there has been a difference of my understanding of what it means to actually walk in faith and pursue faith. And I guess in my journey, I have come to the realization that really faith is everything. And that without it, it's really difficult to live this Christian life. If I don't have the stability of faith, then I'm really just another individual walking through this life, being tossed to and fro. Like James says, that I look at the mirror and I turn around, and yet I forget what I look like. And the waves of the sea just toss me to and fro. But when I'm anchored in faith, when I'm anchored in promise, when I'm anchored in hope, when I'm anchored in Jesus, it changes life. It changes my life. And there's a couple of things about faith that I think that I've learned that are the basis or the foundations of faith. So one of them is found in Hebrews 11 in verse 6. Which says that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So let's look at this scripture for just a moment. Number one, that word to please God means to completely gratify him. And it was one of the songs that we just listened to, which is, I want to completely gratify my Heavenly Father with how I present myself to him and bring him honor and glory. And this says that without faith, it's not possible to completely gratify him. So we could reverse that sentence, which many people actually do, which is that faith pleases God, then, is the antithesis of that statement. So if we just simply reverse it, if it's not possible to please him without faith, then the opposite must be true, which is with faith it pleases him. So faith pleases God, and I want to please my Heavenly Father. So the starting place of faith is that I want to please him, and that does please him. So how do we enact that? For anyone that comes to God must believe that he is. And that word believe means to have faith in a person. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in other words, do we truly believe that God is a God who upholds his word, upholds his promises, that he is a God who is, in other words, is he going to be true or is he going to be false? So I have to believe that he is going to be true, that his promises are correct, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently. I don't like that word, by the way. I don't like that we got that word stuck in there, diligently. I wish it was just that for those who seek him, that would be so much easier. But no, the author of Hebrews stuck in the word for those that diligently seek him. And so if I am convinced that he is good, that he is love, that he is mercy, he is grace, and that by seeking him and by diligently seeking him, that he is going to reward me for that pursuit, then I have the foundation of faith. Without that foundation, I don't know if we can have faith. So we have to believe that he is, and we have to believe that when we pursue him and diligently seek him, that he is going to be a rewarder of that diligent pursuit. And this aligns with, in my opinion, 2 Corinthians 1:20, which everyone in the room has heard me talk about many times, which is, for all the promises of God in him are yes. So God is not up there determining which promise he is going to fulfill today for you or not fulfilling. He has determined that his promise is yes. And in him they are amen, unto the glory of God through us. So God receives glory by us believing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder because his promises are yes. And when I align myself and say, yes, God, you are good and that promise is true, and I answer the amen to that promise, as in 1 Corinthians 1:20, that it gives glory to God through our lives. So there's the foundation of faith, right? Also, then Galatians 5. So if we turn to Galatians 5. Verse 5 and verse 6, for through the Spirit, for we through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor being uncircumcised, but faith which works by love. So faith works by love. That word works means to be active and efficient. To be in a position of actual motion. So faith must be in actual motion by and through love. Now there's two different interpretations that we could throw on this, and they're probably both correct. So I don't care which one you take. Some people would say that it's not our love that is dictating that scripture. So they would say that it's the love of the Father, and that's the love that works through faith. I can accept that. That's a good theological stance for that scripture. But I can also see that because that word works is in there, which means active participation, that I could also see that it's a calling card of my motivation of why I'm enacting faith. Faith works. In other words, I engage in faith. It's active and moving forward when my motivation is out of love. So if I have selfish ambition, is that going to produce the same type of faith? Chances are no, because it's ultimately going to interrupt my faith because I know that I'm seeking after my own self-gain. And then it's really hard to align myself with the promise of God and having full, absolute expectation that promise is going to be mine because my heart is not set in grounded in love of the Father. So when my heart is set in activating towards love, towards my Father, then I have right alignment, and faith then becomes my ability to capture. I can capture faith and ride that because there's no interruption in my heart between the communication of my Father and me. So I can see both of those interpretations being very accurate, because God is love. It's not what he does. It's who he is. And so without his love, faith is impossible to begin with, right? That goes all the way back to Hebrews 11 that we just read, which is you must believe that he is. So I don't care which way you're going to fall on that side of interpreting Galatians 5:6, that faith works by love. I think they're both accurate, actually. I think we can look at it on both sides of that coin and come up with a pretty good theology. And really what it denotes is that faith is a partnership. It's not a one-way street. And that's also what 2 Corinthians 1:20 said, is that faith, I offer the amen. God offers the promise, I offer the amen. So we already know that faith is a partnership. It's not a one-way street. It's not just my faith that's going to enact it. I have to have my faith solid in the promise in order for it to not be interrupted. So there are a couple foundational issues of faith that I think most of us would not have a problem with. And yet, even with the simplicity of those couple of scriptures, we can already see places where we might actually have an interruption of faith, because we're going to be talking about the pursuit of uninterrupted faith, not just the pursuit of faith in and of itself. Because faith has to be long-suffering, like love does, in order to actually bear the fruit that we are expecting out of it. And so, are we diligently seeking after the Father and increasing our knowledge and our confidence in him that he actually is a rewarder? So if we interrupt our pursuit of our Heavenly Father, it's really hard to remain confident that he is good and will and is a rewarder, right? So we see that as a potential interrupter. I think that's a pretty common thing that we hear. And then we look at this as our love language, is our intention in the pursuit of faith accurate? I can tell you without question that I have pursued several things in faith out of my own selfish ambition. And they end up being a faith interrupter for me. So I'm just saying that that's been my experience, is having myself aligned with righteousness. In other words, righteousness is nothing more than what has heaven said is right. I say, yes, that is right. That's righteousness. And so, and that comes back down to this word of love as well. You're listening to a presentation and a discussion with my firm about 2023 and goals. We're going to head into a break here for a moment, but we'll be right back. You can find out more information about what we do at legacyandfaith.com, where there's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and we'll be right back. Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
As we look at this new year, as we enter into 2023, what is it that you want your faith to accomplish this year? Maybe one of the faith interrupters is that sometimes we actually don't know what we are applying our faith towards. We don't have a specific goal. We don't have a specific target. It's really hard to hit a goal if you don't have a target. If you don't have the bullseye and you don't know exactly what you're pursuing, it's really hard to know that it's going to come to pass. So when I was raising my girls, one of the mentalities I had, specifically when I was going through law school, I had the mentality that today is the only January 13th that I will ever have with my girls, being they're now currently 25 and 26. So the same thing can apply, which is today is the only day on January 13th that I will ever have to influence their lives with grace and kindness and goodness and faith. And what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with this January 13th in 2023 to make a difference in the people's lives around me? And so we can ask that question on a broader scale. What are we going to do with 2023? This is the only 2023 that we ever get in our lifetimes to have an influence and an effect upon the kingdom of God and those around us for the purposes of his kingdom. So are we going to be intentional this year, or are we going to let yet another year run by with just concentrating on me and me alone? Well, I have things that I would like. I would like more money. I would like more health. I would like more peace. And that's the all I encompassing. And so what is it that our Heavenly Father is asking us to attach our faith to in 2023? Because this is it. I'm 55 years old. So if this goes out on the radio, now you know how old I am. But it's the only time in my life that I have at this age with this year. And so, is there a level of urgency in us this year to accomplish something for his kingdom? Or is our urgency only about us? Goals need to be specific. They need to be quantifiable. They need to be traceable. And they need to be achievable. Now, achievable, it needs to be difficult to get to, otherwise you can just do it in your own strength, right? And we don't want to be operating just in our own natural giftings. We can do things in our own natural giftings. Other people call it an anointing. An anointing is just simply superimposed natural ability that is, and so we can operate off of our natural gifting or our natural anointing that God has blessed in our life, but that is going to run its course and we're going to wear out on that. And so anointing or natural gifting can definitely take us down the road. It can definitely get us to a certain place. But is that what you want to lean on in 2023? And so if we want to do more, then we have to have an identifiable, a specific, identifiable, quantifiable, traceable, and accomplishable goals this year. So in this pursuit of uninterrupted faith, we need to make a determination of what reward we will be diligently pursuing this year with all of our passion and faith. Because that's what Hebrews 11:6 was talking about, that we need to diligently seek after the Lord. So what is it that we are going to diligently pursue this year? If we get something from our Heavenly Father that says, I want you to move in this direction or begin to attach your faith, if we have not made the determination in our heart that we are going to diligently seek after that, oh, that's just probably step one that we have to resolve, is how much of my time, passion, and energy am I truly willing to sacrifice to achieve the goal, to achieve what I believe the promise is going to be in my life, because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, correct? Ecclesiastes 7:8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So what Ecclesiastes is telling us is that we always want the end. And the beginning, and looking at the road that we're going to have to diligently seek, boy, that's the tough part. Resolving in our heart that we are going to step up and get into the game and diligently be there, that's why the beginning is no fun. That's why we yearn for the end result. But without uninterrupted faith, I'm going to propose to you that we can never get to the end, and we're always lost in the beginning and in the middle, and that doesn't taste good. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so if we can consistently defer our faith and kick it down the street, it will make our heart sick, and we will come up, and we will begin to count God unfaithful. That's a sad place to be. I've been there. God, you didn't fulfill your word. Or we come up with bad theology. This promise must not be for me. Or there must be something else that I have to do. Or God is teaching me a lesson. All that is bad theology. What typically happens is that we interrupt our faith and we never get to the sweetness of the end, like Ecclesiastes is talking about. Better is the end of a thing because we get to taste the fruit versus the beginning because, well, we're at the beginning and we see some of the hard work. So part of what we need to determine in our own hearts today is if there's something that the Father is dropping that we are going to pursue with faith, are we willing to count the price and actually get in the game and see it through? Or are we going to allow our own tricks, our own bad theology, our own emotions interrupt that thing? In Hebrews 11:33, I believe that we have some insight about interrupted faith. Hebrews 11:33. This is the faith chapter, right? All these giants, this is what they did in their lives. Is what, right? So this is the champions of faith chapter. And in the middle of it all, and if we're not careful, we would just potentially even miss it. In the middle of it all, it says, who through faith, so all these different giants of faith, all these individuals who through faith subdued kingdoms, in other words, they overcame kingdoms and authorities that were put in their place. They administered righteousness and obtained the promise. Okay, I want to take just a moment and look at these three. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, they administered, or they toiled and engaged, is what that Greek word means. So they engaged in righteousness, doing what is right, calling what is right, right, instead of what is wrong, right. Like much of society does now. And then they obtain the promise. And I think sometimes we miss this important ingredient, which is we need to toil in righteousness to receive the promise that we are actually envisioning. What this takes, what this toil of righteousness takes, is patience, unfortunately. And that's a word we don't like. In the parable of the sower and the seed, you guys have heard me say that I really don't like Luke, and I'm going to have some words with him when we're face-to-face, because he is the one who, at the end of the parable of the sower, ends up saying you will receive 30, 60, 100-fold with patience. So, oh, dang. But I've been thinking about this word with patience, and that's actually where this discussion comes out of, is me thinking about this word patience. Okay, and we live in a society to where we expect things to happen very quickly. And our faith, if we really stop and examine our faith, I believe that a majority of the church at large has made God or faith become no more than Harry Potter's wand, which is, well, I see a promise and I'm just going to spit it out there and I expect God to move. But yet, Hebrews 11:33 says that we need to toil with righteousness to receive the promise. So we need to go in and conquer kingdoms, toil with righteousness, and then we receive the promise. And how does that happen? It happens through patience. So there's a toiling in our faith and in our journey, and that's the, okay, are we going to be in this game, and are we really going to count the cost to say, I'm willing to pursue it in totality? So as we think about things that we want our Father to give us, as we think about we want to engage in faith in these areas, it could be in our family, it could be in our health, it could be in relationships, it could be at work, it can be with finances. There's many different promises that our Father has given us through his word. So where are the ones that we're going to commit ourselves to? First, we need to establish what that's going to be. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. So first, we need to commit ourselves to doing his bidding and his kingdom work, and then our thoughts will be established towards him. Psalms 20, verse 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. This one I found very interesting. It's not fulfill his purpose. That's actually what I expected the scripture to say. But actually fulfill your purpose, because your heart's desire is aligned with his passion. Then our thoughts are established in him. And now all of a sudden I get a vision from him and it becomes my purpose is what his purpose is, because I've aligned myself with him. So I thought this was interesting that my heart's desire would be fulfilled. You've been listening to our 2023 vision and goal setting from Planning with Purpose. We're going to continue our discussion. We're about halfway through, so there will be another session next week. I hope that you'll join us, and I hope you've been able to gain some insight of what you are going to be dreaming about in 2023 with God's help. Thank you for listening to the Legacy and Faith Show today. You can find out more information at legacyandfaith.com, where there's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. Thank you so much for joining us on the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.